This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Good morning. It is 8:07, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock at WCHL. We have 47 degrees in Chapel Hill. Cloudy this morning and then clearing this afternoon. We'll have a lot of sunshine later on in the day. High today about 68 degrees. You may have been surprised to find that everything was wet this morning when you woke up and went outside. We had a little overnight rain, but we're not really expecting any more today. Tonight we'll have mostly clear skies as well, and maybe a little fog rolling in after midnight, overnight low 45. Tomorrow we'll start out with fog first thing in the morning, and then mostly sunny and warmer with a high up in the low 80s. Big chance of rain coming tomorrow night and also on Thursday. The Chapel Hill Town Council was busy last night endorsing a plan to build a veterans memorial at the Chapel Hill Memorial Cemetery, but council members say they want more details on how that site is to be maintained. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend fills us in on details.
Rusty Edminster grew up in Chapel Hill and remembers when Chapel Hill High used to be on Franklin Street. Like many in his class of 1962, he was called to serve in the Vietnam War. Last night, he asked the town council to approve a proposal from his fellow veterans designed to honor all of Chapel Hill's military service members.
I urge you, ladies and gentlemen, to approve this memorial because it's a permanent way for the town of Chapel Hill to say thank you for the time that veterans and their families sacrificed for the service of not only this community but the United States.
A committee of veterans has been working since 2009 to site and design a veterans memorial in Chapel Hill. Last night, the council unanimously approved an initial proposal to locate the memorial in the Chapel Hill Memorial Cemetery off Fordham Boulevard. The proposal would transform an existing brick plaza into a tree-lined stone-paved courtyard with five monuments, each representing a branch of the U.S. military. The project would be funded by private contributions, and although support for the plan ran high, many on the council said they wanted more details about the cost of maintaining the memorial, which will be located on town-owned property. Parks and Recreation Director Butch Keziah told the council organizers are hoping to raise enough money to cover long-term maintenance.
One of the ideas with the fundraising is to not only raise enough money to build the memorial, but to also have a maintenance fund that would go with it. Right now, we're looking at something around $300,000 is what would need to be raised to make all this work.
Matt Chakovsky, the only veteran currently serving on the council, said he'd like to see the town contribute as well.
If the town of Chapel Hill can at least contribute to the maintenance of this beautiful memorial, then I think that's shameful. Surely we can find a little bit of money at least to participate in contributing to the maintenance of this.
Council voted unanimously to endorse the plan, paving the way for a fundraising campaign led by former council member Jim Merritt and UNC's Associate Vice Chancellor Bruce Runberg. If you'd like to find out more about plans for the Chapel Hill Veterans Memorial, you can check out a link on our website, chapelboro.com. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Seems like more and more these days we have a story like this to report. Police investigated a suspicious package near a bus stop on South Columbia Street on the campus near Carrington Hall yesterday. Randy Young in the UNC Department of Public Safety confirmed that traffic was rerouted on South Columbia Street due to the investigation. Before 6:30 p.m., however, the all-clear was given and traffic patterns returned to normal. Carrboro Alderman will discuss the need for town-owned affordable housing when the board meets tonight. Some of the board want to know if the town could use eminent domain to acquire Collins Crossing, the apartment complex on Jones Ferry Road that's home to many low-income residents in Carrboro. The complex changed management back in June of last year. Since then, rental rate hikes and property improvement fees have forced some of the residents out and raised concerns that Carrboro is losing one of its last affordable housing options. Also tonight, Alderman will take public comment on a plan to buy a new fire truck, as well as an ordinance change that would require some new downtown developments to build up instead of out. The board meets tonight at 7:30 at Carrboro Town Hall. Orange County Commissioners will hold a public hearing tonight to discuss how the county should pay for its popular recycling program now that the state Supreme Court has ruled against the current fee system. The options on the table include drawing boundaries for taxable service districts, creating a solid waste authority similar to Orange Water and Sewer Authority, or discontinuing rural curbside pickup altogether and leaving the towns to come up with their own solutions. Commissioners voted earlier this month to reject the idea of a countywide franchise agreement. The board will also talk about a resolution calling on the General Assembly to repeal the death penalty in North Carolina. The town of Chapel Hill, the town of Carrboro, and the city of Durham have already approved a similar motion. Now, if Orange County follows suit tonight, it will be the first county in the state, since the town of Chapel Hill and Carrboro have already done so, to officially oppose capital punishment. The board meets at 7 o'clock tonight at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. The idea of paying collegiate athletes, it's an idea that's used to seem outrageous, but may be a reality in the near future. There's more and more talk about that. ESPN broadcaster and Duke basketball alum Jay Billis spoke at the University of North Carolina last week. He says that the concept of amateurism in college sports just doesn't work anymore. Things need to change. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
College sports is professional. The only thing amateur about it right now is the structure and the leadership. And the only thing amateur about it is the players don't get anything.
That's Jay Billis speaking during a college athletics roundtable discussion commissioned by Chancellor Holden Thorpe. The NCAA reports its projected revenue for the next year to be just under $800 million, with about $700 million coming from the new rights agreement with CBS Sports and Turner Broadcasting.
I have considered it for a long time to be immoral to restrict athletes from getting more than just a scholarship when we don't have a reason for doing so. And it's a conceptual problem, and I think it's a moral problem.
Billis says paying college players would be expenses incidental to a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Money is not the issue with regard to athletes, because we've got professional athletes that are playing, and we're not seeing major problems. The problem is the restriction we have from athletes receiving money.
He says a pay-for-play model needs to be instituted because Division I men's basketball and football are professional-like enterprises. He also argues that it's not right that college athletes can't cash in on endorsements. He says they have a right to support themselves and their families. Bill cited the example of four-time Olympic gold medalist Missy Franklin. She accepted an athletic scholarship to the University of California at Berkeley. To keep her NCAA eligibility, she can't receive any endorsement. Bill says it's not right that she has to lose out on millions of dollars in potential income. Additionally, the court's attention is focused on former UCLA basketball player Ed O'Bannon's lawsuit against the NCAA for using his likeness for profit without compensation. The fallout of the lawsuit could be tremendous, though it wouldn't be immediate. We could see retroactive payments of former and current student-athletes and the larger implications of throwing out the old college athletics business model altogether. Game makers like EA Sports could get out of the college business completely if they have to start paying royalties to athletes.
Think about it this way. The athlete is the only person in a university community that is restricted from compensation beyond expenses. The only person.
Billis says the harsh restrictions placed on college athletes have caused too many dealings with unauthorized agents to go under the table. He says the NCAA should lift the restrictions and bring transparency back to the process.
It has created an underground economy. It has created scandals that really don't need to be scandals.
And UNC has felt the blow of scandals over the past 2 years, all beginning with a tweet by former UNC football player Marvin Austin. The tweet drew attention to Austin's dealings with a pro agent and ultimately led to an NCAA investigation of the university's football program. This subsequently surfaced irregularities in the African and Afro-American Studies Department.
The NCAA has been in scandal mode and in crisis mode since 1906 when it was founded. It was founded in scandal, it has continued in scandal, and it will continue in scandal unless there's change in the way the rules are structured and in the way that the governance is structured.
Chapelboro.com's Art Chansky has covered college sports since 1970. He agrees with Billis that it's not just amateur sports anymore and things need to be rectified.
Well, there's no question that there are big changes coming in college athletics. It's already started with the realignment, and eventually, I believe, it'll be one super division of the NCAA that will rewrite its own rule book.
Chansky says there are many issues, though, that may come about if players are paid. Will the NCAA lose its nonprofit tax exemption, and what about workmen's compensation?
And I think it'll start maybe on an experimental level. I would like to see maybe the ACC take the front position on that and be a conference that tests, you know, a certain pay-for-play scale.
Billis posed the question, how should we pay the wrestler versus the star quarterback? Should we provide the men and women the same thing? His answer was a free market system. Though NCAA President Mark Emmert has adamantly argued against paying players, the topic is not going away. As Chinsky said, the climate of college athletics has already begun to change. To hear Billis's full address at the UNC Roundtable discussion on college athletics, visit our website, chapelboro.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time, 8:17. 17 minutes after 8 o'clock. Time now for traffic and weather together. This traffic report is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Fill up your tank and get your morning coffee, cappuccino, or hot chocolate, and a freshly baked biscuit or pastry. And don't forget about those 79-cent fountain drinks. No matter how big, just 79 cents, only at Cruisers. Good to go. Now with your morning traffic on WCHL, here's Rand.
Thank you very much, Ron. 15501 northbound approaching I-40 from Ephesus Church Road, seeing a slowdown. Also 15501 northbound and southbound between NC-86 and NC-54, seeing some delays this morning. Nothing too serious out on the roadways right now. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, though, be sure to give us a call, and you can be WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call. Or you can tweet us at WCHL. And as always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by the all-new Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, where you can enjoy a $3 happy hour Monday through Friday from 4 until 6 p.m. $3. All full-size menu items, just $3 during happy hour. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, now open in Chapel Hill's East 54 Shopping Center. It is 49 degrees in Chapel Hill, finally beginning to warm up a little bit. Cloudy this morning and then clearing later on in the day. Our high today about 68 degrees. Tonight mostly clear with the low in the middle 40s. Some fog first thing in the morning, otherwise mostly sunny and warmer with a high in the low 80s. Tomorrow night, chance of showers, slight chance of thunderstorms as well, and maybe even some rain late after midnight. Overnight low in the low 50s, chance of rain is 60%. We'll have a 40% chance of rain all day Thursday with a high of about 68 degrees. On Thursday night, clear skies, lows in the low 40s. On Friday, sunny with a high in the upper 60s. So rain probably on the way. And definitely some cooler temperatures. It's going to warm up again tomorrow with a high up in the 80s one more time. This weather is just fickle. It just changes from one day to the next. If you don't like the weather today, stick around today. It'll change. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, 8:20. 20 minutes after 8 o'clock at WCHL. A new poll shows that North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory continues to be popular with an approval rating sitting at 49% right now. That's according to the latest data collected by Public Policy Polling in Raleigh. And here is Tom Jensen to explain.
49% is a very good approval rating for a politician, especially these days. Voters really are just so down on politicians in general.
And the poll shows that 36% of North Carolinians disapprove of McCrory's job performance. Jensen says this is in large part because 31% of registered Democrats actually approve of the governor and what he's doing. Jensen compared McCrory's numbers in his first 4 months in office to his predecessor, former Democrat Governor Beth Perdue. He says McCrory's numbers have been steadily positive, whereas Perdue's numbers dropped every month during the first 6 months she was in office. Public opinion of the Republican-controlled state legislature, however, is not on par with the governor's positive numbers.
Voters sort of think about state government as a whole. They're really not very happy.
52% of voters disapprove of Republicans as a whole running the state government, while only 38% approve. Jensen says this is because of the wave of legislation pouring out of the state legislature lately.
And what we're finding is that most of these controversial proposals are not popular with the public at large. You sort of see the national media mocking North Carolina for. Average North Carolina voters don't support, and I think that's why you see the Republicans' poll numbers so low.
To see the full breakdown of these new poll numbers from Public Policy Polling, you can go to WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Good morning, I'm Rod Stutz. Monday, the Atlantic Coast Conference and its member institutions announced a commitment to strength and unity in a time of busy realignment, not only in the ACC, but all over the country. This is happening. The conference's Council of Presidents announced that 15 schools signed a grant of media rights that runs through the current contract, which expires in 2026. 2027. If a school wants to lead the conference in that time, it would not be able to take the media rights to its own game with it meaning it wouldn't offer any added value to a conference that it would be joining. In a release, ACC Commissioner John Swofford says, quoting here, the Council of Presidents has shown tremendous leadership in ensuring the ACC is extremely well-positioned with unlimited potential. Art Chansky has a few words about this coming up on today's edition of Sports Notebook. The number one UNC baseball team could tie its longest win streak of the year in this week's midweek matchups. Tar Heels begin with the UNC Wilmington Seahawks later today, 6 p.m. They played the Seahawks earlier this season and won 10-0. Seahawks are a pretty good baseball team, though. They have gone 99-2 since the teams last met in Wilmington. First pitch today scheduled for 6 p.m. at Bosheimer Stadium. And then tomorrow night, Carolina will host Charlotte. Tar Heels haven't played Charlotte before this season, but they have played Atlantic 10 teams, or one of them anyway. They played Virginia Commonwealth back in late March and won in 10 innings, 3-2. 49ers are actually pretty good as well. They're 22-7 team overall. First pitch tomorrow is scheduled for 7 p.m. at the Bosch. So first pitch today, 6. First pitch tomorrow, 7. A couple of non-conference games for Carolina. You can hear both those contests right here on WCHL and streaming live online at chapelbro.com. UNC softball team had to play catch-up last night to get the win over Georgia Tech despite an early lead, and they took the series with the 11-6 victory. Tar Heels got three quick runs on the board in the bottom of the first thanks to freshman Kristen Brown's fourth home run in three games, followed by senior Constance Orr's team-leading 12th homer of the season. But in the top of the third, Yellow Jackets answered with five runs. Heading to the bottom of the fifth, UNC trailed 5-4, but put together a five-run inning of its own. Georgia Tech added one in the sixth, but Carolina extended its lead again with two in the bottom of the inning. Junior Lori Spingola, Carolina's pitching ace, remained in the circle for the entire game, giving up 11 hits, 6 earned runs, and striking out 4. Not as good performance as she normally turns in, but she got the win. Tar Heels took the series 2-1 with the 11-6 decision and improved to 36-16 on the season, 12-6 in the ACC. UNC's softball team will host UNC Greensboro on Wednesday at Anderson Stadium for its home finale before closing out the regular season on the road against Maryland on Saturday and Sunday. WCHL Championship Sports, it's 8:25, 25 minutes after 8 o'clock. I'm Ron Stutz, and time now to hear from Art.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Pardon me if I'm skeptical about the ACC's new grant of meteorites. This is Art Chansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. The nebulous announcement Monday that the ACC has agreed to a grant of rights of its 14-year TV contract to current and new members is a nice move to calm all the realignment jitters. But what does that mean exactly? The ACC is the fourth league to issue such a grant of rights, which I guess means that the league agrees to pay each member school the current and soon-to-be-escalated TV share if each school agrees not to go anywhere without having to pay the $52 million exit fee, or if it does, will have to pay back all of the media rights it has previously received from the ACC. Good luck with that. The ACC supposedly has several schools still on the radar of the Big Ten, one of the four leagues that already has such a grant of rights. Only its projected rights fees in 2017 is $42 million per school. So if an ACC member wants and needs that kind of TV jack to stay solvent, it will eventually leave with a message to the ACC. Sue me if you don't like it. Departing Maryland is already subject to the $50 million exit fee, and the trips will tie up that puppy in court for years. The Big 12 is another league that has a so-called grant of rights, and if an exodus occurs, there won't be much left of the old Big 8 and former Southwest Conference to grant diminished rights to any remaining members. Texas is already fighting with everyone in the Big 12 over its disproportionate share of revenues, including that from the Texas Sports Network, and the Pac-12 is throwing Big 10-type numbers around if the Longhorns and Oklahoma head west to form a Pac-14. Then there is the SEC that does not have a grant of rights, which is kind of an admission that it really doesn't know to whom it will be granting such rights when the dust settles. Supposedly, the SEC still has its eyes on Clemson, Florida State, and Virginia Tech, just as the Big Ten has flirted with Virginia and Georgia Tech, and you know would love to have UNC and Duke. So all of this is just political posturing because TV money rules and will continue to at such payoff levels. All the BCS leagues are in Pasadena this week in meetings between the poachers and the poachees. They may make nice over where the new four-team football playoff is held, what it will be called, and who's on the selection committee. But the bottom line is this. TV money talks, and schools will walk to get more of it and keep their athletic departments from having to cut sports and expenses. This is Archansky. See ya.
How would you like to drive a new BMW for $396 per month? That's phenomenal handling, intelligent technology, and exceptional fuel economy in the 2013 BMW 328i for $369 per month. Performance BMW is well known for the promise and the wow. The promise is your guarantee you'll always receive extraordinary service from expertly trained people, all for a superb value. The promise is so truly exceptional that you're bound to belt out a wow that might even rival the wow man himself, Gerald Remoyne. Wow!
Stock number B3747, 36-month lease for 10,000 miles per year. $39.99 excludes tax, saving $549 dock fee. Based on MSRP of $44,045 and selling price of $41,850. Financing with approved credit through BMW FS. See dealer for details. Take delivery by April 30th, 2013. No-cost maintenance does not cover tire wear. See BMWUSA.com for more details.
BMW is the ultimate driving machine. 2013 Center of Excellence and Volume Leader. All new BMWs come with no-cost maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. No-cost means you pay nothing for standard maintenance for the life of the new car warranty. Performance BMW ChapelHill.com.
Wow!
They don't make them like they used to. Now, if we're talking about cars, that's a good thing. But with fine jewelry, not necessarily. Certain techniques are simply too labor-intensive. Certain gems are no longer available. Whether it's the elegant feminine lines of the Victorians, the exquisite lace-like platinum of the Edwardians, or the bold geometry of Art Deco, a vintage piece of jewelry can be an irreproducible work of art. And the fact that it may have been worn and treasured by someone who traveled on horseback in steamship and wrote long letters by hand adds a special magic evoking another time and place. This is Berkeley Grimble of Grimble Jewelers. And on Saturday, May 4th, we will be having our annual estate jewelry show and sale. For one day only, we will have over $2 million worth of gorgeous period and antique pieces priced from $300,000 to $30,000. Don't miss this opportunity to own a piece of history. That's Saturday, May 4th from 10 to 5 at Grimble Jewelers, corner of Elliott and Franklin.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from the Zemph Online Education Network. It's 70% off, $130 for private online music lessons, available now for $39. Here's your chance to finally learn to play the saxophone or the guitar or even learn how to sing. Take private lessons via live, two-way video from the comfort of your home. The Zemph Online Education Network helps you find and connect with your perfect online music teacher. Today's Our Local Deal gives you three 30-minute lessons for 70% off the regular price. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This is Holden Thorpe, and thank you to WCHL for all you do for our community.
It's bottom of the hour at WCHL. Time now for your Chapel Hill Carborough weather. Brought to you this morning by Fifth Season Gardening. Organic gardening, homebrew, hydroponics, cheese making, canning, and much more at their downtown Carborough store. Fifth Season, not your garden variety gardening store. Go see Richard Quinn. Tell him hello for me, would you? Cloudy this morning and then clearing in the afternoon. Our high today about 68 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear, widespread fog rolling in after midnight. Overnight low 45. Tomorrow, we're looking at foggy in the morning and then mostly sunny for the rest of the day. Warmer temperatures, highs back up in the low 80s tomorrow. Tomorrow night, a chance of rain, 60% chance of rain, and the overnight low about 52. On Thursday, 40% chance of rain all day, maybe showers, and maybe thunderstorms.
Uniquely qualified to cover Carolina, 97.9 FM, WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel Station.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett. While goodbyes were said in Boston to marathon bombing victim grad student Lu Lingzhi, her roommate Jing Li spoke.
You indeed brought bright sunshine and sweetness to me and everyone who knew you.
The probe continues into the motive behind the attacks. From what senior correspondent John Miller has learned about suspect Jokhar Tsarnaev has been saying.
His account so far is that this was driven by his brother. It was mostly done online in terms of radicalization, finding instructions, so on and so forth. And that there is no international terrorism organization or Mr. Big behind it.
In Boston, CBS's Terrell Brown says Tsarnaev was charged with federal crimes as a judge came to his hospital bedside.
The judge asked if he could afford a lawyer. The 19-year-old uttered just one word. No. The judge noted Tsarnaev's condition, saying, I find the defendant is alert, mentally competent, and lucid.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
Good morning, it is 8:32, 28 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL. We have 50 degrees in Chapel Hill, really starting to warm up now. A nice day on the way, clearing this morning. We have cloudy skies, and we get some rain overnight, but it's going to clear up gradually, and our high this afternoon about 68 degrees. Chapel Hill Town Council endorsed a plan to build a veterans memorial at the Chapel Hill Memorial Cemetery, but some council members say they want more details on how the site will be maintained. Here's WCHL's Elizabeth Friend.
The Edminster grew up in Chapel Hill and remembers when Chapel Hill High used to be on Franklin Street. Like many in his class of 1962, he was called to serve in the Vietnam War. Last night, he asked the town council to approve a proposal from his fellow veterans designed to honor all of Chapel Hill's military service members.
I urge you, ladies and gentlemen, to approve this memorial because it's a permanent way for the town of Chapel Hill to say thank you for the time that veterans and their families sacrifice for the service of not only this community, but the United States.
A committee of veterans has been working since 2009 to site and design a veterans memorial in Chapel Hill. Last night, the council unanimously approved an initial proposal to locate the memorial in the Chapel Hill Memorial Cemetery off Fordham Boulevard. The proposal would transform an existing brick plaza into a tree-lined stone-paved courtyard with five monuments, each representing a branch of the U.S. military. The project would be funded by private contributions, and although support for the plan ran high, many on the council said they wanted more details about the cost of maintaining the memorial, which will be located on town-owned property. Parks and Recreation Director Butch Keziah told the council organizers are hoping to raise enough money to cover long-term maintenance.
One of the ideas with the fundraising is to not only raise enough money to build the memorial, but to also have a maintenance fund that would go with it. Right now, we're looking at something around $300,000 is what would need to be raised to make all this work.
Matt Chakovsky, the only veteran currently serving on the council, said he'd like to see the town contribute as well.
If the town of Chapel Hill can at least contribute to the maintenance of this beautiful memorial, then I think that's shameful. Surely, we can find a little bit of money at least to participate in contributing to the maintenance of this.
Council voted unanimously to endorse the plan, paving the way for a fundraising campaign led by former council member Jim Merritt and UNC's Associate Vice Chancellor Bruce Runberg. If you'd like to find out more about plans for the Chapel Hill Veterans Memorial, you can check out a link on our website, chapelboro.com. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
In other news this morning on WCHL, police investigated a suspicious package near a bus stop on South Columbia Street near Carrington Hall on the UNC campus late yesterday. Randy Young in the UNC Department of Public Safety confirmed that traffic was rerouted on South Columbia due to the investigation. However, before 6:30 p.m., the all-clear was given and traffic patterns returned to normal. The Carrboro Alderman will discuss the need for town-owned affordable housing when the board meets tonight. Some of the board want to know if the town could use eminent domain to acquire Collins Crossing. That's the apartment complex on Jones Ferry Road that's home to many low-income residents in Carrboro. The complex changed management back in June of last year. And since then, rental rate hikes and property improvement fees have forced some of the residents out and raised some concerns that Carrboro is losing one of its last affordable housing options. Also tonight, the alderman will take public comment on a plan to buy a new fire truck as well as an ordinance change that would require some new downtown developments to build up instead of out. The board meets tonight, 7:30, at Carrboro Town Hall. And the Orange County Commissioners will be busy tonight. They're holding a public hearing to discuss how the county should pay for its popular recycling program. Now that the state Supreme Court has ruled against the current fee system, the options on the table include drawing boundaries for taxable service districts, creating a solid waste authority similar to OWASA, or discontinuing rural curbside pickup service and leaving the towns to come up with their own solutions. Commissioners voted earlier this month to reject the idea of a countywide franchise agreement. The board will also consider a resolution calling on the North Carolina General Assembly to repeal the death penalty here in North Carolina. Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Durham have already approved a similar motion. Now, if Orange County follows suit, it will be the first county in the state to officially oppose capital punishment with all of its governing bodies. The board meets tonight at 7 o'clock at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. Jay Billis was a Duke basketball player, an outstanding one, and certainly is an excellent broadcaster. He does ACC basketball and college basketball in general. And he was on the UNC campus last week. He delivered a speech about amateurism, college athletes, academics, etc. You can go to our website and get that whole story. You may have heard it earlier today, but it is on our website at chapelbrew.com. 837 at WCHL, 23 minutes until 9 o'clock. It's Ron Sutz. Coming up to Adopt a Pet, we always do on Tuesday mornings on WCHL. And also today's commentary is on the way from Professor Lou Margolis about academics and athletics. And Blair Pollack just walked into the studio this morning. And Blair, how you doing this morning? You want to use that microphone right there, if you don't mind?
Yes, sir.
Blair is here, no doubt, to talk about recycling and the Shred-a-thon coming up. And Blair, tell us all about what's happening.
Oh, hi, Ron. That's right. No doubt I'm here to talk about Shred-a-thons, recycling, and I just caught your piece about tonight's public hearing on the varieties of ways to pay for future recycling, mm-hmm. and we do hope people who support the recycling will come out and express their opinions about that.
Very important public hearing there, and we've been following that story all along, and now it's getting down to decision time, so it's coming soon.
Yes, sir, very important. It was 26 years ago this month, Ron, that they hired me, foolishly or not, to help start the recycling programs here. So,
well, we've come a long way since then.
We're really proud of what we've done, and the Shred-a-thons are part of that growing and evolving and broad reach that we have into the community. And it's a great partnership between us, the police department, the Partnership for Sustainable Community, the town of Hillsborough's police department helps us out, Orange County Crime Stoppers helps us get the word out to people about these twice a year events for confidential paper shredding. So mm-hmm. Thursday, April 27th from 10 to 2 and Saturday, I'm sorry, Thursday, April 25th and Saturday, April 27th from 10 to 2, people can come out and get their paper shredded for their confidential mm-hmm. paper shredded for free.
Now, what kind of materials are we talking about and what can you not bring to the Shred-a-thon?
Well, what we'd like to see is any kind of paper that might be subject to identity theft, whether it's an old tax record, financial records, credit card records, anything. A lot of, unfortunately, identity theft takes place from paper still, and so mm-hmm. when you throw the wrong papers in the trash, there's somebody there to root around and get it out. This is a way to destroy those papers and have them recycled. You'll see them shredded right on the spot. What we don't want is any kind of plastics, diskettes, big metal binders, incidental metals like staples and paper clips, they'll be shredded and extracted in the paper making process, but big pendiflex folders and anything that isn't truly paper, plastic bags, please make sure is out when you bring your paper.
All right. How can folks find out more about this?
Well, the April 25th event is at University Mall from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. by Dillard's. The April 27th Saturday event is at the recycling site at Home Depot at Hampton Point in Hillsborough, and you can find out more on the county's website, orangecountync.gov. It's in the news release page, and also, of course, call our office at 968-2788, same phone number for 26 years now. And you can also call the radio station and ask Ron. He's probably got all the details somewhere back there.
Oh, right here in my head.
Right in his head.
All of them. Blair, I want to wish you a happy anniversary.
Thank you, sir.
26 years doing the same job. It's kind of unusual. Not many people stick in the same thing for that long, but way to go.
Thanks, Ron.
And thanks for all you've done for Orange County and getting everybody into the habit of recycling. And you have made a big difference in the amount of material that goes to the landfill. And you really ought to be proud of you and Muriel and everybody else ought to be proud of what you've been able to do.
We're very happy about it. And have we got time for one more commercial?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Thanks. Speaking of the broad reach, at the end of the UNC academic year, there'll be a first-ever student move-out reuse rodeo. So from Tuesday, May 7th through Friday, May 10th at the Hargrave Center on Mitchell Lane. If you're moving out, bring, or even if you're not moving, but you, if you have reusable goods, you can come and drop them off on behalf of the PTA thrift shop. It's going to take clothing, and the Hargrave Center is going to take notebooks and school supplies. The Interfaith Council will take unopened food, and there'll be a drop-off for computers and for cell phones as well. So that's another opportunity to lighten your load before you leave town and do some good.
Boy, that can really be a large undertaking because there's so much material that comes off campus when students are moving out. You know, they just have so much, and you know, it's a shame for all that stuff to be thrown into the landfill. You don't want that to happen, so let's recycle it. Let's use it.
Spring of 1969 in the streets of Madison, Wisconsin, I furnished an apartment, brand new, unopened, never out of the box bed sheets, brand new sweaters. It's unfortunately all out there, and it's been going on a long time.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, Blair, thanks for coming in. It's always good to see you. Congratulations on your anniversary again, and hopefully a lot of people will participate in the Shred-a-thon coming this Thursday and this Saturday.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great day. It is 8:43 at WCHL, 17 minutes until 9 o'clock.
At Southern States Volkswagen of Durham, we're your one-stop shop to find the new Volkswagen or quality pre-owned vehicle you've been looking for. We've got over 200 new Volkswagens to choose from, including Beetles, Jettas, Routans, and more. And if we don't have it, we'll be glad to find it for you. And with deals like ours, there's just one thing you ought to know. There's only one place you'll ever buy a car from again. Southern States Volkswagen of Durham. Get to Southern States Volkswagen of Durham today or visit VWofDurham.com.
I moved here a few years ago and discovered UNC Family Medicine. I love that the doctors are up to date on the latest medical developments. I love the easy parking. And most of all, I love that my husband and my kids also go to UNC Family Medicine. The reassurance of knowing they are available by email or by phone, plus the knowledge they are among the best family medicine departments in the country, means I have peace of mind about our health care.
Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Hello, this is Tony Hall of Tony Hall & Associates. Your choice of listing agent could determine if your house will sell or not. If you're serious about selling, even if you've been unsuccessful in the past, I can help. I want to be your realtor. Call today, 919-933-8500, or visit on the internet, TonyHallAndAssociates.com. At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses, we sell them.
It's the most important day on the WCHL broadcast calendar, the annual Chapel Hill Carborough Orange County Forum. The 2013 Forum is Thursday, live from the WCHL studios in Chapel Hill, from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. Each year, we tackle important topics in our community. And this guest from local government, UNC, the business community, public schools, nonprofits, and residents at large will focus on topics that include town and county challenges, education, diversity, democracy, economic growth, sustainability, and much more. Submit your questions via email to social@wchl.com or post them to the WCHL Facebook wall. Be sure to tune in Thursday from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. to hear the many views of our community on 97.9 FM WCHL. The 2013 Community Forum is presented with the generous support of Durham Tech, University Mall, Molly Maid, and the Happy Tooth.
We consider it to be our most important broadcast day, and it happens this Thursday, 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. And once again, right here at WCHL, a lot of folks will be coming through these doors and on these microphones, that's for sure, because we always want to know what you have to say about things. And we got a lot of things, we might not get a lot of things settled, but we certainly bring up a lot of topics and have a lot of discussion all day long. All right, Sarah Fallon is here with Adopt-A-Pet on WCHL. Sarah Fallon is here from Orange County Animal Services. And Sarah brought a very special guest with her, Cece.
I did, Ron. Good morning.
Tell us about Cece. It's a great dog.
Well, Cece is a great dog, and she is about 2 years old. And we have her down as a pit bull shih tzu mix. And so she's very different looking. You know, she's short to the floor. Hmm? She's gray in color. She has like a miniature pit head, but not the big jaws. So
yeah.
I'm not exactly sure. Somebody thought maybe she had Wammer Rammer in her, and maybe lab, but she's so little.
It's kind of a strange mix. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
I know. Just like Blair just said.
Yeah.
I've never seen a dog like that, but that's a good-looking dog.
Yeah.
That makes you wonder why she was turned into the shelter.
She really is. What is her story? How'd you get her?
Well, I know that we had her before, and she was recently adopted, and I can't remember her story before. I'll try to look it up and couldn't find it, but she came to us and then was adopted by a family with two small children, mm-hmm. and they returned her saying that they just couldn't take care of her. And I think, I know that when they took her home, they were trying to get her to jump, get in the car by herself, and she's scared to get in the car. You just have to mm-hmm. pick her up. I mean, she's, you know, easy enough to pick up, but once you pick her up and put her in the car, she rides very well.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, they filled out the paperwork saying she was good with kids, she was good on a leash, she, you know, stayed outside to use the bathroom, but she was an inside dog, and all they said was they just couldn't take care of her.
Wow. Well, it's such a shame because, you know, a pet is like a member of the family.
Yep.
It's a lifelong commitment. And there's some people who do it without really being ready to do it, and that's probably the case here. How can folks find out more about Cece?
Well, Cece is actually on the adoption floor. She's in DA-13. You can just drop by Orange County Animal Services at 1603 Eubanks Road. Mm-hmm. 1600, that's right. I forget, it's been a long time.
It's on Eubanks Road.
Eubanks Road. Or you could go to our website. It's orangecountync.gov, www.orangecountync.gov. It's a little bit easier now, animal services. Or you could check your website, too.
Yeah.
And go to our website as well.
Yeah, Rand Northam just took some photos of Cece, and that'll be on our website and on our Facebook page. We'll have a link to your website so folks can find out more about Cece. This is a really cool dog.
She really is. I mean,
she's unique. I've never seen a dog like that.
She, she loves running outside on a leash and sniffing around. And today, you know, she might, because she is short to the ground, when you approach her from being up at the top, she'll kind of go flat and roll over on her belly. Like she's been a little submissive, but she's not really shy. She just, once you start rubbing her, she loves it, and she'll just let you rub her.
Weigh like maybe 15, 16 pounds or something like
Probably, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, certainly no more than 20, I wouldn't think. She's not very big, but really, really cool dog.
She does have a tail, so, we're not exactly sure. It would be curious to find out what all she's mixed with.
Really?
But it turned out, the mix turned out really cute.
So. Yeah, it did.
And another good thing is we are running a spring adoption special, and so she is at half price, and her adoption fee is $60. She's already been spayed. She's already been microchipped, and she's already had her rabies vaccination for this year. So
she's ready to go.
Yep.
She's good to go.
For $60,
All right. Hey, listen, thanks a bunch. It's always a pleasure to see you. You're doing great work out there. And we're going to get this dog adopted.
I know. We always have good luck when we bring our animals here. They always seem to get adopted. So keep on going.
Yep. Cece is next.
Cece is next.
It is 8:50, 10 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL. That is Adopt-A-Pet. I'm Ron Sutz.
The Commentators is presented by Sunrise Dental, offering a wide variety of services, including their advanced methods of sedation dentistry. Choose Sunrise Dental online at visitsunrise.com. And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Lou Margolis. The Rawlings panel recently held its first meeting to consider how challenges caused by athletics at UNC can inform the direction of our campus and the national higher education community. I would like to remind the panel that the first step in any useful analysis is to provide a clear definition of the problem. Unfortunately, the agenda of the well-attended meeting did not clearly frame the questions. Chancellor Thorpe introduced the session by stating as fact that big-time college athletics are here to stay, or implying that $100 million in sales of licensed merchandise somehow makes the athletics enterprise okay. Why should we start a conversation if we have these answers? Bubba Cunningham then traced in great detail the treacherous path of big-time college sports with a certainty and inevitability that again makes us wonder, why start a discussion? Chancellor Thorpe then returned to the podium to bemoan the powerlessness of chancellors to adhere to educational missions in the face of alumni and boosters who demand what amount to professional sports programs in football and basketball. It was only after hearing a frame of inescapability and impotence that speakers like Jay Billis, Richard Southall, and Jay Smith ask the important questions. Why do we accept the hypocrisy of amateurism when the only ones not being paid are the very people, the football and basketball players, who are producing most of the economic value? How do we live with the basic unfairness of the so-called collegiate model, whereby millions upon millions of dollars that the revenue athletes in football and basketball generate are redistributed to coaches, luxury facilities, and other students who do not have such financial need? Shouldn't we at least use clear language for this discussion? That is, discard the term student-athlete, a label created by the NCAA to confuse efforts to rein in the hypocrisy that has come to characterize big-time sports on campus? In her modern classic, The Handmaid's Tale, Margaret Atwood taught us that it isn't the sort of thing you ask questions about, because the answers are not usually answers you want to know. I encourage the panel to ask the right questions. This is Lou Margolis.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL. The Commentators is presented by Sunrise Dental, offering a wide variety of services, including their advanced methods of sedation dentistry. Choose Sunrise Dental online at visitsunrise.com.
What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT.
What You're Saying on the Street.
I'm Rand Northam. Over the past few days, it's been impossible to turn on a television without seeing updates about the manhunt and capture of the second Boston Marathon bomber. We hit the streets to find out how you feel the media is portraying the entire situation.
Sam, Chapel Hill. They kind of jumped the gun originally when they said that they had somebody, they had a suspect in court. So I was kind of started off bad, but they've been doing pretty well since then, I think. A lot of times they don't have a lot of talk about it because they have to wait for new information to come out. But overall, I think they, other than the initial mess up, they've done pretty well.
Sheila Sigmund, and I currently live in Durham, North Carolina. My personal opinion, I think that when things of this nature are over-publicized, that it actually brings more attention to people that may have some of these ideas in their head, and it may make something else come about. I'd like to see it kind of die down and see more about some of the victims and some of the families and how they're surviving.
Vicki Cook in Chapel Hill. Sometimes it seemed a bit over the top. However, I think everyone was so interested in knowing what was going on that maybe there was no other way to do it. I think mainly everyone just wanted to be informed and did want to know what was happening. And just were very grateful when the fellow was captured.
Do you think that the media has done a sufficient job of covering the manhunt and capture of the second Boston Marathon bomber?
Brian from Chapel Hill. Well, I think it's a difficult question. Anytime you have a controversial issue and folks want to report early, then I don't really have an opinion on whether or not they jumped the gun. I just think it's a problem with the 24/7 news cycle and folks trying to get ahead of the story. I think it's just symptomatic of our culture today.
Will, Chapel Hill. In terms of, I guess, quality, they did a pretty good job. Quantity, I thought, was a bit much. They just ran with it all day long. It's just funny how, a certain news story will just take over and the others will disappear.
Mary Bear, and I live in Chapel Hill. I think the media glorifies violence. I also think the reason all of the school children are being shot is this. The moment of fame.
That's What You're Saying on the Street. On 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at IGotFixed.com.
Good morning. It is 8:55, 5 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL. Remember Wayne Pond's word of the day? What's the word? How do you spell it? What's the definition? Call me right now, 919-929-WCHL. Get a $10 gift card to Cruisers. It's all brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Word of the day, your number to call, once again, 919-929-WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Katie Savage is a junior at the University of North Carolina. She just received the Undergraduate Student Award for her work in founding Advocates for Carolina, an organization for students with disabilities. Katie Savage is today's WCHL hometown hero.
We are a student organization, and we are advocating for students with disabilities. And I founded Advocates after transferring to Carolina last semester and having a disability myself, and I did relearn how to walk a person. has thesis and, you know, coming to Carolina, wanting to meet others with, you know, disability. You know, that's pretty much what began the initiation for that group.
Katie Savage had heart surgery when she was 14 years old. She knew it was a serious operation, but had no idea that when she woke up, she would be missing a leg. You can imagine what she went through, some very tough times. Now that she's a student at Carolina, she knows that others face challenges of their own, and she wants everyone to know that there are other students going through what they're going through. They are not alone. Katie is all about helping others.
Just having the experiences that I've had, you know, my dream is just to serve others, you know, and so, you know, this is what I love, and I guess helping others is just so much part of who I am, you know, that's the only way I know how to describe it.
I was personally touched when Katie told me that years ago she heard an interview I did with Marty Revelette, a man who was born with no arms. Marty has since passed on, but that interview with Marty Revelette, who managed to do all kinds of things despite his disabilities, really inspired Katie and made her feel more like she could do anything.
I remember a few years ago I went into Sutton's and I was looking for him because that interview, it just gave me so much hope, and so it was magical. And I believe it was you who, for the first time I had heard your voice, it was like the first time I tuned in to WCHL, and that interview just meant so much to me.
Katie Savage, you mean so much to so many other people. You have already inspired so many others, and I get the feeling your life's work is going to be doing just that, helping others. There's a special exhibit at the Carolina Student Union on display now. It's called This Able Life. Go see it. It is an inspiration. Katie Savage, a student at Carolina, doing great things. She's today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from the Zemp Online Education Network. It's 70% off, $130 for private online music lessons, available now for $39. Here's your chance to finally learn to play the saxophone or the guitar or even learn how to sing. Take private lessons via live, two-way video from the comfort of your home. The Zemp Online Education Network helps you find and connect with your perfect online music teacher. Today's Our Local Deal gives you three 30-minute lessons for 70% off the regular price. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
All right, the word of the day. Nancy Sidlowski called in with it. Huarache. H-U-A-R-A-C-H-E. It means a leather-thonged sandal originally worn by Mexican Indians. Nancy Sidlowski gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Thank you so much. We'll have another word for you bright and early tomorrow.
Local news all day. Breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 9 o'clock.
Chapel Hill Economic Development. Open for business, to business. Find out more on the web at opentobusiness.biz.